We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
We continue the discussion of the subject of the Holy Spirit. Today, miracles and healings by the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone has defined a miracle as something contrary to the laws of nature, but this definition is incorrect. Rather, a miracle is something above the laws of nature, something that the laws of nature could not do in ordinary course and operation. To illustrate, no law of nature ever brought Adam and Eve forth in this world at maturity without parents. In other words, nature never produced life without parents. It is not a miracle for an oak tree to produce an acorn, nor for the acorn to produce the tree. But it is a miracle to produce the tree without an acorn, or an acorn without the tree. The first tree of the first acorn was a miracle. The first man and woman was a miracle. In fact, everything, every species of life, animal, insect, vegetable, began by miracle. The beginning was a miracle. What is a miracle? It is that which is above the laws of nature, something beyond the finite mind and ability of man. No law of nature ever raised a person from the dead. A miracle has done so. No law of nature ever gave immediate hearing to the totally deaf, sight to the blind and speech to the dumb, nor legs to the lame. But miracles have done so. There may be many pretenders to perform miracles who may sometimes seem to be successful in their deceptive pretensions. Pretenders fail, but miracles never fail. An example of an ancient pretender may be found in Daniel the 2nd chapter. Well, Nebuchadnezzar demanded that his would-be miracle performers, or magicians, tell him his dream that he had forgotten and give him the interpretation of it. Realizing that this was beyond their power, they cunningly replied, "Let the king tell his dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." But the king insisted, saying, "Tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation." Then, acknowledging complete failure, these deceitful workers replied, "There is not a man in the earth can show the king's matter." King Nebuchadnezzar was wroth and displeased with their lying pretenses and declared, "That is but one decree for you. Make known to me the dream with the interpretation thereof, or ye shall be cut to pieces." To expose the deceitful workers of these would-be miracle performers, God sent Daniel, the prophet of God, to the king and made known to him his dream and the interpretation of it. God usually has a way to expose such false claims of pretenders. It is possible for man today to be mistaken, and I ask you, what about miracles today? Is it possible for a man to perform miracles and divine healings today as in Bible times? By miracles and divine healings, we mean those as revealed and manifested in the Word of God, such as taking up serpents and not being harmed, drinking deadly poison without injury, raising the dead and healing the sick. These are miracles indeed, a power above the laws of nature. According to Mark 16:17-18, these acts accompanied the work of the early disciples in the church. Christ sent the 12 to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and cast out demons, as revealed in Matthew 10:8. Now, question, are these miracles or any other such miracles performed today? Do men today have the power to perform such miracles? First, let us observe the purpose and design of miracles and healings in New Testament times. It will help us much to answer the question. The design and purpose of miracles was twofold, namely, to confirm the Word of God and make men believe that Jesus was the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 2:2-4, the apostle wrote, "But if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both by signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will." The great purpose of miracles was to establish the foundation and truth of Christianity and salvation, but Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. In John 20:30, Jesus declared, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Miracles and divine healings by the power of the Holy Spirit and performed by the apostles and disciples of Christ were to convince the world that the message of salvation was from Christ and that they had divinely been chosen and sent by the Lord. Miracles were their credentials. In Mark chapter 2, verses 2 through 12, we have the record of the paralytic. There were infidels present then, as there are infidels today. Some of them accused him of blasphemy, but Jesus said, recorded in verse 10, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority or power on earth to forgive sins." Nicodemus was convinced that Jesus was the Christ because of the miracles he did. In John 3, verse 2, he said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." The purpose of miracles performed in New Testament times was so different from the purpose of the pretenders of today. The main theme and plea of the modern miracle performers today is the healing of sick and diseased bodies. My friends, that was not necessarily the purpose of miracles during the time of Christ. The sick were not healed just because they were sick. The sick were not miraculously healed and immune from further sickness or disease. The dead who were raised from the dead would die again. When the word was spoken by men of God who were guided by the Holy Spirit, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it was confirmed by the miracles and wonders that accompanied the preaching of the word. Once the word was confirmed as the word of God, it was forever and eternally confirmed. There is no such thing as reconfirmation of the word of God. When the high court of our land confirmed the decision of the lower court, it is for all time confirmed. When the word of God was confirmed by the signs and the miracles and the wonders, it was confirmed, confirmed for eternity. It is absurd for poor, weak, foolish men to presume to aid the infinite wisdom of God by presuming to perform miracles, assuming to reconfirm God's word, which has already been confirmed by these men chosen by the Lord in their works. Miracles and healings have ceased because the means of securing miraculous power to perform miracles have ceased. The New Testament reveals two means of bestowing miraculous power upon men chosen by God. One, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 and 43. Two, the laying on of the hands of the apostles, Acts 8, 14, 18, and Acts 19. The Bible reveals only recorded example of the Holy Spirit baptism in New Testament times. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the 12 apostles received it. In Acts 10, verse 44 and 11, 18, it is revealed that a special miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit was bestowed upon Cornelius and his household. Of course, the Apostle Paul, as a special chosen apostle, was also endowed with the Holy Spirit and was divinely guided by the Spirit, as he declared in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. This last occurrence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we have record of, was about the year of A.D. 33. Some 23 years later, the Apostle Peter wrote about water baptism, which saves, in 1 Peter 3, 20, 21. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, declared that there is one baptism now, in Ephesians 4, 4. Obviously, that is water baptism. We must therefore scripturally conclude that there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit now as a source for miraculous works. Oh yes, I am quite aware of the fact that many today claim to have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you may be sure, my friends, no man on earth today has ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If any man today ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he could do the miraculous works that the apostles did, and he could speak by inspiration as did the apostles. But no man can do that. The very fact that men do not perform the miraculous works done by the apostles is evidence of the fact that no man has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as did the apostles. The very fact that no man today has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as did the apostles is evidence of the fact that no man can perform the miracles which were done by the apostles. The Bible does teach that God's people today receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when they obey the gospel. Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and Acts 2, verse 38. But not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people, it seems, become confused every time they read anything in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. Everything the Holy Spirit is done or has said to be doing is that of the baptismal marriage of the Holy Spirit, according to them. This is a gross mistake. There is only one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. That is water baptism. Read Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. The eunuch, while traveling along, spoke to the man who was the preacher and said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And the Bible says, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's the baptism that Jesus commanded in Mark 16, 15, 16, when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Paul, I repeat, declared that there is one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Obviously, that is water baptism, not baptism of the Holy Spirit. The apostles were the only ones in the Jerusalem church who could work miracles until they imparted this power to others, as you read in Acts 2, verse 43, and Acts 5, verse 12. The seven deacons could perform miracles only after the apostles had laid their hands upon them, Acts 6, verse 6. Stephen could perform miracles, Acts 6, verse 8. Philip could perform miracles, Acts 8, verse 6. But not until after the laying on of the apostles' hands. Although Philip could do miraculous works, he could not impart this power to others. He went to Samaria, preached the gospel, and confirmed the word with miracles. Many believed and were baptized into Christ, as we read in Acts 8, verse 12. It was necessary, however, for Peter and John, the apostles of Christ, to go from Jerusalem to Samaria and lay hands on the new converts to impart to them the miraculous power of the Spirit to confirm the word by miracles, as I read in Acts 8, verses 14 to 21. Simon evidently recognized that this was through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, that such miraculous powers were imposed upon others, Acts 8, verse 18. He saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, and he offered them money to purchase that power. Peter informed him that this is the gift of God, and it cannot be purchased with money. Furthermore, he declared, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter," verses 21 and 20, verse 20. From this text, we are forced to the conclusion that the gift of God, obviously the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, were received only by the early Christians through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Another example of the laying on of the hands of the apostles may be found in Acts chapter 19 in the first six verses. At Ephesus, Paul laid his hands upon them and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak with tongues and prophesied. The Ephesians spoke in tongues and prophesied only after they had received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Also, there can be no doubt that Paul conferred this miraculous gift upon Timothy through the laying on of hands, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Ladies and gentlemen, hear it. Are you listening? It is evident that only the apostles could lay their hands on men and confer on them the power to do miraculous works. Like Philip, who was not an apostle, those who had the power to perform miracles who were not apostles could not bestow that power to someone else. The apostles had been dead now for some 1900 years. The last persons upon whom the apostles laid their hands and conferred the miraculous power have been dead about 1900 years. When the last apostle died and the last person upon whom the apostles had laid their hands died, miracles ceased. Regardless of all the fantastic and ridiculous claims made by men and churches, there are none today. According to Acts chapter 28, 3, 5, 8, and 9, the Apostle Paul had the power to heal the sick and render harmless the bite of a poisonous serpent. Yet, he left his traveling companion, Trophimus, at Miletus, sick, as you read in 2 Timothy 4:20. The apostle had the power to heal, but he did not heal even his traveling companion just because he was sick. He also had another traveling companion who was sick, Epaphroditus. Philippians 2:25-26. Timothy, Paul's son in the gospel and a preacher of the gospel himself, was told by Paul to take some wine for his stomach's sake. 1 Timothy 5:23. Miracles and healings were never for the physical benefit of man. Neither were they to show the faith of the individual person through whom the Spirit of God performed the miracles. Yes, the sick were healed, the dead were raised, and the poisonous bites of snakes were rendered harmless. But such were miracles, performed only by those whom God had especially chosen and appointed for that special purpose. There's not a man on earth today that has that power to perform such a miracle. There are quite a number, however, who are in their graves because they attempted to perform miracles by the handling of snakes and allowing them to bite them. Others have gone to their graves because they refused medical aid to help sustain health according to the laws of nature. A number of times people, including some parents, have been carried into the civil courts of our land because they contributed to the death of innocent children by refusing them medical attention to help sustain the health of the body according to the laws of nature. Surely, there can be no doubt about the honesty and sincerity of those mistaken parents. Some of them lost their children, whom they loved dearly, in death because of misunderstanding God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, if a person could perform one miracle, he could perform any miracle, and there would be no special conditions, and there would be no failures. Jesus said, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give." Matthew 10:8. May I suggest this proposal? I will be glad to go with any person who claims to have the power to perform miracles to any cemetery. And if he will raise one person from the dead, I assure you that I will raise one from the dead. Is that unreasonable? You know why I make that suggestion? Because, beloved, we all know that no man on God's earth today has the miraculous power to raise the dead. But if a person had the power of the Holy Spirit to perform any miracle, such as the healing of an incurable disease, he could also raise the dead. Oh, my friends, do not be deceived. You hear much talk about miracles and healings, but there are none today and have not been since the apostolic age of miracles and healings revealed in the New Testament. Yes, you may hear someone who is supposed to have been cured of some kind of ailment, or some person who may claim to have had some kind of revelation from the Spirit. But you can remember this. You won't see any glass eyes on display because of the totally blind received sight. And you won't see any mechanical or wooden legs which have been replaced by the miraculous work of the healer. Neither will you be able to find a coffin now empty because someone has been raised from the dead. If there were even one person who could heal the sick or one miracle performed, he could do any of the miraculous works and he would not fail. Never, never.